This, as we have been saying, is the 150th Dublin Horse Show. I want to introduce you next to someone who has been to nearly half of all of those horse shows. Mary McCann is something of a legend in sport horse circles, having bred some of the most successful show jumpers in the history of the sport and brought horses to Dublin pretty much every year since, is it 1956, Mary?
I rode in 1956.
You rode in 1956, but you were coming long before that.
A few years before that, yes.
The purpose of the horse show then and now, I suppose, was to sell horses. Yes, there's champagne and there's show jumping, but there's a lot of business done here too.
There is, but I think years ago there was more business done. Your whole year was connected into the final thing of getting to Dublin, and you had your young horses broken and riding well and got to the odd show like a Si and those sort of shows, and then you came up to Dublin and you had all your English buyers in, or mostly English buyers.
And how many horses would you come up with?
Well, one year we came up with 28.
How many did you sell?
I can't remember that year, but you'd like to try and sell it, maybe a quarter. But they would have been seen by people from England, mostly from Great Britain, and then they would tell their friends and they would come back over afterwards again.
So all of this show jumping, all of this finery is really just a shop window for you to display your wares in.
It was then, but I think it's more now. It's you know, there's a little bit more finesse about it now, if you like, and the kids with their ponies is a huge thing. When I first came to Dublin, there was one pony show. There was one pony class to jump.
Okay.
And all the heights, you're talking about the heights there this morning, from 12-2 to 14-2, they all jumped together. The 12-2 had to jump with the 14-2. And that was quite tricky.
Now we have multiple classes.
Multiple classes.
We have 17 or 1800 horses coming here in all of these different events. What's the biggest change as far as you're concerned?
Probably numbers. Now, you're talking about all these numbers of horses that came. But I can remember the four-year-old lightweight hunter class when there was 62 in it. And now I think probably the highest you get, maybe about 18, maybe.
So that's not a good picture then. That means that we're not breeding all those horses.
I don't think we are. I think the unfortunate thing is that the farmer that sort of had two and three mares and went down the road and covered his mare by a nice thoroughbred and then ended up breeding a very good horse, as I say, for the British market. That is nearly gone. It's got very professional now.
You live in Kill, just outside of Naas in County Kildare, 32 kilometres, I looked this up on the map, from the RDS. Back in the day, there were members of your household that hacked here, that got here on horseback.
They did. I have my husband David's auntie Mabel, who is still alive. She's 104, living at Hartwell, and she actually rode her horse, a little small horse, up from Kill.
Competed
against the army, she tells everybody, and then hacked home again. And she actually also hacked a Tullow show, which was even further, the next week.
Really?
Yeah.
Good Lord. That's quite
extraordinary,
isn't it?
But we did that. I mean, I lived in Churchtown, and I can remember hunting to Clondalkin to hunt a pony in Clondalkin. You wouldn't see the hunt going through Clondalkin or Tallaght now. With my father on a bicycle behind me and back home again.
All changed. Utterly, as they say. Now, you're not going to like me saying this because I don't think that you like the whole idea of being a link to the past of the horse show, but allow me to redeem myself by saying that you also have a foot in the future of the industry, because the breeding operation that you run in Kill in Kildare has since the 1980s been using cutting edge science to try and take some of that guesswork out of getting the right mare in foal to the right stallion, up to and including cloning stallions to try and continue their bloodline. There are large liquid nitrogen-filled flasks everywhere, each containing straws of frozen semen. So how many straws in that tank? Okay.
About 1,200 in that one, maybe, yeah.
And
how many tanks do we have?
I was just going to say, how many tanks do you have and how many of these stallions?
20.
Mary has in effect amassed a massive library of show jumper DNA, much of it from stallions who died long ago, but whose traits are still desirable and can be sold to the owner of the right mare.
This is where we process all our semen.
The main plank of the business at Hartwell Stud is the extraction and freezing of semen from stallions.
This is where we collect it.
Mary shows me around, followed closely by her two daughters, anxious to stop her from saying anything too outrageous.
And I think it's a little bit, somebody said to me once, a little bit like cooking. You can either cook or you can't cook. You can either freeze semen or you can't.
You would have thought it's pretty much a kind of one-size-fits-all sort of process, no.
Horses need to be fit, well-fed, fit, well-exercised, in a good healthy state to produce good semen. It's the same as men. It's no good having...
You'll have to cut that out.
You'll have to cut that out.
Where are we going?
Down to the second field there, and we have six mares and foals down there, so it's rather nice to see them. You get down here! Now, that mare there with the white socks, do you see her there?
Yeah.
She is a full sister to two that went to badminton. And she has a very good one this year. I'm hoping it's going to go a long way.
Though Mary has dedicated a long career to using science to promote the Irish sport horse, it's clear she feels that the glory days of Irish breeding dominance are long gone. Perhaps precisely because of what that science now allows.
I can remember years ago when we first started to ship semen around the country. And I went down to Cork to a show. And there was a fellow in front of me who had stallions in Cork, and he was talking to all his cronies at the ringside watching horses jump. And he said, and that Mary McCann up in Kildare, she's absolutely mad. She's putting semen in little containers and she's sending them down and round the place on the bus. Now, how can you expect horses to go in fold when the semen's arriving on the bus? So I tapped him on the back and I said, you wait, man. And that's the only way you do it.
And you were right. But how is it that that hasn't given us a competitive edge, embracing that science?
I don't know that there's enough good mares in the country now. We are nearly all foreign. Are we nearly all foreign?
Yeah. Well, there's not an Irish stallion around. Left.
No.
You obviously think about this an awful lot. Have you a remedy for the current situation? Have you an idea for how to get the Irish sport horse back on top?
No.
That's very dispiriting.
No.
Do better than that for me, please.
There isn't the genetics anymore, I don't think, to be able to bring it back to a place where it was in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Am I being sentimental about this then,
yes,
Tammy?
Yes, I think
we
are now.
We've been sentimental for years about it.
But should I just be thinking that, you know, the next step forward in the evolution of the horse is to be taking sperm from Germany and an egg from England and breeding
that's
the
happening.
Horse?
That's happening. That's happening now all the time.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Is that what we should just accept as horse
think
breeding
I think
in
we
the
do,
modern age?
We do have to accept it. And you see, people don't realise that. They're talking about Irish bred horses now. They're only Irish bred, half of them, because they're born in Ireland.
In a corner stable at the top of the yard is the stallion Cruising Encore. He's a clone of Mary's most successful show jumper, Cruising, but also an illustration of how cutting-edge science didn't cut corners to Irish breeding success.
I thought that people would want the genetics because Cruising breeds very, very good mares. And it didn't work that way. They didn't want to. They wanted us to see them
competing,
and being another Cruising. And you weren't going to get another Cruising. It's the same with nearly all the horses that have been cloned. I mean, we have some very nice ones
they
and they're doing very well. But they just haven't hit the top the way they should do, probably.
It'd be very easy to get all kind of nostalgic and misty-eyed about some glorious Irish sport horse past. Do you think things generally were actually better way back when than they are now?
I think they were far more fun. And you went to shows and you had fun, and now it's all very professional. Even the amateurs are professional now.
But the idea of the horse out the back that your child could go and have a little bit of fun with, that's an idea that seems to be kind of disappearing from the Irish landscape.
No, I think that's still there, and the child can still go to the pony club, and the pony clubs are great. these new arenas that have been built, you know, and people have got grants for and that sort of thing, once a week they'll have a little show and then maybe they'll have another show the next week and they'll gain their points and they'll have a final show. They're going much better. And I think COVID brought that on.
Well, now you're contradicting yourself. There is fun. There is crack to be had.
There is, yes, but not the crack that we used to have, I don't think.
Back here with me now. Are you still knocking a bit of fun out of it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have to keep going.
You do. Mary McCann, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you very much for showing me operations down at Hartwell Stud.